Good evening. Welcome to Digging Deeper, a ministry of Green Valley Baptist Church. I'm Dr. Don R. Zampona, the pastor at the Great Church of Green Valley in Lebanon, Virginia. I want you to get a Bible tonight, if you can, and find 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, because we're going to discuss tonight God's master calendar, and the reason we are will become quite evident to you. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans and to us these words, and that knowing that the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The church has been asleep for quite some time now, friends, and the reason we say that with certainty is because of what Jesus Christ said concerning the church at Laodicea. He said that church was neither hot nor cold. It was lukewarm. And a lukewarm church is a church that's fast asleep. And we know this because of the apostasy that is going on in our day, where many have tuned God out and many have turned away from the truth. And so tonight we're going to be talking about the end times, because that is the time in which we are living. And what God wants us to know and what we're going to see is that we are not living at the beginning of the end times, we are living at the end of the end times. Listen to me, the end times began when Jesus ascended back up to heaven, leaving us with that blessed promise that Jesus Christ is coming again. And because we have that promise, we know that the end times will one day come to a close. God's holy word teaches us that. Now, I am sure that we can all agree that we are living in some very, very unusual times. And yet the times mirror the time in the days of Noah and Lot, before God brought about cataclysmic judgment on the ungodly and the unrepentant in those days. My hope is that the message God has for us tonight will help us better understand the times in which we are living and turn us back to God. Because these are very, very unusual times in which we are living today. And without understanding the times, we can become afraid, and many have. We'll become confused, and many are. And we'll be ill-prepared. And there are many who are ill-prepared. If Jesus were to come tonight, would he find you ready to go home to heaven? Now, to say that we are living at the end of the end times is to say that we are almost out of time, and that is because time is running out. And you might be wondering, well, why now? Why do you say, Pastor, that time is running out? Why are we the generation at the end? God's word gives very clear answers to these questions. Because from the very beginning of creation, God determined how much time would be allotted for human history. And friends, we are there. We are at the precipice. And it isn't arbitrary. And it isn't because of what man has done. And it isn't because we're better or worse than any generation that has gone before us. The Bible teaches God has a master calendar, and it keeps time. And we just happen to be the people who are living when the time runs out. Now listen, God doesn't want us to be frightened about this. He doesn't want us to be living scared. No. God loves us. And he's gone to prepare a place for us. And as Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We call that place heaven. And God has a heavenly home up in glory for us. We're headed to the glory. But therefore, God has given us his word so that we can understand and rejoice as Paul said, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice, and we can rejoice in these unusual times in which we're living, because, friends, God is in control, and Jesus Christ is coming soon. Listen, he's got the whole world in his hands, and more importantly, he's got my world, and he's got your world. He's got us in his hands. If you know Jesus Christ tonight as your Lord and Savior, you have absolutely nothing to fear, because God has always said there is a time coming when he is coming again. Now, we're in 2 Peter chapter 3, and this is the Apostle Peter, and he is speaking about the end times. And he shares some very specific prophecies with us concerning the end times. And so the Apostle Peter, in the scripture I'm going to read in just a moment, he's simply reminding us and giving us words to remember, words that came from the Old Testament prophets. And so if you have your Bible, you can follow along. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word to us tonight. We thank you, Father, that in these unusual times in which we're living, there's no reason for us to fear. For, Lord, you have it all under control. No matter how out of control this world may seem at times to us, no matter how out of control our own piece of this world may seem, Lord, we can rest in this, that God is in control. And the Bible is a book of promises. And the greatest promise of all is that Jesus is coming again. And because God is in control, we can know for certain that Jesus Christ is coming again. Hallelujah and amen. Well, Peter gives us very specific prophecy here. He says that when the end times come, there will be scoffers, mockers, scoffing about the end times. In other words, they're going to hear preachers like me preaching about the end times, and they're going to scoff at what they hear. And the reason they will scoff at what they hear is because they are ungodly, immoral people filled to the brim with their own lust. You see, Peter will scoff, says they will scoff, say, well, nothing has ever changed. I've heard about Jesus coming again all my life, and he has not come yet. Oh, be quiet, preacher. Jesus ain't coming again. And they'll laugh and they'll scoff. Well, friend, these are the people that mock at everything. And these are the people that say nothing's ever going to change. And maybe you know some people like that tonight. But God's word says here that they willfully reject the authority of the word of God and the warnings of the word of God concerning their own judgment. And so listen carefully. They reject what a preacher like me has to say. They reject the Bible. They reject what God says in His Word. And perhaps you know people like that. You see, in other words, they have made a decision. I'm not going to hear it. I will not listen to the Word of God. And I will not listen to anybody who wants to tell me about God. And again, do you know people like that? I pray you're not one of those people like that watching tonight, but I also pray that perhaps you are, because then you'll have the opportunity to get saved. I pray that God would open your heart. I pray that you would say an everlasting yes to Jesus so you don't rot in hell for an eternity. You see, people who have willfully rejected the authority of the Word of God, well, they're just no different than the people of Noah's day when the world was judged by a flood. And this is what Peter wrote. Can you imagine people laughing at Noah and making fun of Noah and him building this big old boat? What do you think they were doing when the rain started to fall? When that first raindrop came? When that first puddle began to form? When the water got over their toes, over their ankles, over their knees? Do you think that they were still scoffing then, or do you think they were pounding on the boat saying, let me in, let me in? But it was too late. The judgment of God had come. And so understand, Peter goes on and he says that this world, our present world, is being preserved for fire. And people who scoff today, they're going to be judged one day. And Peter is speaking about the time we're living in today. And so he says to believers in verse 8, beloved, remember this one thing, that with the Lord a day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Now, I don't know how much thought you've given to that, but this is a very important thing that Peter is talking about here. God lets us know through Peter that he sees a day, one day, as a thousand years. And Moses knew that also, for he wrote in Psalm 90:4, for a thousand years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. Now remember, the context here in 2 Peter 3 is the end times. And Peter says that God is not slack. That is, God is not waiting arbitrarily to come back. God has a plan. And that plan regards a day as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. And so God is simply letting us know through Peter that he has a master calendar. And God has been on that calendar since the beginning of time, and he's still on that calendar today. And this is what Peter is talking about. And the believers of Peter's day understood this. The Jewish mind believed this, and the early church even believed this. This is what the Hebrew rabbis and Orthodox scholars have also taught for centuries. So naturally, the question becomes for us, what is God's master calendar? And the answer is found in the book of Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. And Isaiah says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my good pleasure. Now remember what Moses wrote that I shared a moment ago, Psalm 90 and 4, 1,000 years is like yesterday. Well, family, who wrote the book of Genesis? It was Moses. And who gave God's law to the Israelites? And it was Moses. So understand that what the Jewish rabbis teach is that God revealed the end in Genesis 1. God revealed his calendar that he keeps on time in Genesis 1. The Holy Bible teaches and has always taught that God does nothing until he reveals it first. Listen, God, our God, is not a secret keeper. Our God wants us to live in the light of his word. This is not just words on pages. This is a living word given to us by a living God that we might live in the light of it. The psalmist wrote, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we ought to be living in that lamp and in that light today. But sadly, many are not. Many are living in the darkness of this world because they have rejected the Bible. They have rejected God. They have rejected Jesus Christ, the only means of salvation. The reason for Bible prophecy is so that we will be prepared for everything God says is going to happen. The prophet Isaiah, Amos prophesied, surely, the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Now, Moses was the prophet of God who wrote the first five books of the Bible. Those books are known as the Pentateuch or the Torah, so that we would understand what's happening today. God doesn't want us living our lives in darkness, being confused, being fearful. So he has given us his word to understand life and to understand God's will for our lives. Let me read you one New Testament scripture that's very important from the book of 1 Thessalonians. And remember, every chapter in the book of 1 Thessalonians talks about the return of Jesus Christ. And this is very specific for us today. And this is what is written. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know that perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Did you know? Were you aware that every time the Bible says that Jesus comes as a thief in the night, he is talking to unbelievers, not believers. Jesus does not come as a thief in the night to a believer. Listen, you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. But then he says, brethren, you are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. God has given us Bible prophecy so that we will be prepared when he comes. He doesn't come as a thief in the night to those who are genuine believers in Jesus Christ, because we are of the day, we are of the light, we are of the Word. Now, no man knows the exact hour, moment, or day when he's coming, but we know the signs of the times, and here's the reason, so that when Jesus comes, we have our heads lifted up and we're going to be ready to meet our bridegroom. That's the importance of it. People say, you don't know when Jesus is coming. And I couldn't agree more. They're exactly right. We don't know when he is coming, but we do know the signs of the times. Now, let's take up God's 7,000-year calendar. In Genesis 1, how many days of creation were there? Seven. And Peter said, remember this one thing, that with the Lord a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. And Moses said, 1,000 years are as yesterday to the Lord. And Isaiah says, God declares the end from the beginning. So at the very beginning, God is already talking about the end. And God always counts in sevens. He always counts time in sevens. 7 days of creation were given in Genesis. There were 7 sabbatical years and still are in Israel's calendar. Every 7th year they were to give the land rest. And then they had 7 sevens of years, and the year after that was the year of Jubilee. In the book of Daniel, 70 times 7, which equals 490 prophetic years, were declared to the nation of Israel. And the angel told Daniel that 70 times 7 of years are declared for Israel until the very end comes. And by the way, there's only 7 years of that left. The time of Jacob's sorrow, which is the tribulation. So God counts time in sevens, and there is no doubt about that. And so Jewish scholars for thousands of years have taught that in Genesis 1, the 7 days of creation corresponds to 7,000 years of human history. In the very beginning, God was saying there's going to be 7,000 years of human history. There's going to be 6,000 years of human history, followed by a 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, and then it is over. In other words, it's not arbitrary. At the very beginning, God started his clock, and we just happen to be the generation alive at the fulfillment of that time. Is that true? How can we know that's what the Bible teaches? Well, friend, you won't if you don't read the Bible. Because the Bible teaches about the 7 days of creation and how they prophetically parallel each millennium of human history. This means the first day of creation parallels the first 1,000 years of human history, and the most important spiritual event that happened in the first 1,000 years, the second day of creation parallels the second 1,000 years of human history, and the most important spiritual event that happened in the second 1,000 years of human history, and the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and the seventh. So every day of creation is prophetic, is a prophetic grid, if you will, because God reveals the end from the beginning. So let me read to you what happened on each day of creation and how it parallels each millennium of human history. On the first day of creation, light was separated from darkness. In the first millennium, Adam and Eve sinned, separating them from God. Light and darkness are separated spiritually. So on the first day of creation, God separates the light from the darkness. What was the most significant event of the first millennium of human history? Adam and Eve sinned, and light and darkness were separated spiritually. on the second day, there was separation of the waters above and below. And in the second millennium, the waters above and below were used in judgment in Noah's flood and then separated again. So the second 1,000 years of human history, there was a spiritual parallel to the second day of creation. God brought the waters together again and flooded the earth, and then he separated them again. Well, on the third day, plants yielding seed were created to fill the world with life. And in the third millennium, a promise was made to Abraham that through his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And we talked about this. On the fourth day, the lights were created in heaven. And in the fourth millennium, the prophets were given as lights to Israel, and Jesus came as the light of the world. On the fifth day, living creatures were created. And in the fifth millennium, Jesus died that we might become new creatures inheriting eternal life. And on the sixth day, the millennium that we're living in now, man was created and was told to fill the earth and subdue it. And in the sixth millennium, man has filled the earth and subdued it. What God commanded Adam and Eve to do in Genesis 1 has been accomplished in the last 1,000 years. And on the seventh day, God rested. And in the seventh millennium, the earth will be restored. And mankind will rest as Jesus rules for 1,000 years. We're going to finish this message next week, and I pray that you'll tune in. But friend, with just what we've shared so far tonight, can I ask you, if Jesus Christ were to come to you and were to say to you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" How would you answer him? Will Jesus come to you as a thief in the night? Or will you be prepared? Will you be ready when Jesus comes? If you were to say, "I'm not ready, but I want to be," would you just bow your heads and pray? Right now, right where you're at, would you say, "Dear Jesus, Lord, forgive me, I am a sinner. And I'm in need of a Savior. Father, I don't want you to come as a thief. I want to be ready. And I'm asking you tonight to forgive me of my sins, come into my heart and to be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen."